Eleanor Russo. I am one of the pastors here at Trinity, and it is my privilege to be able to welcome you this morning. If this is your first time to worship with us, we are particularly excited and glad that you have chosen to be here, and we hope that you experience God's love and God's mercy showering you this morning. And if you worship with us regularly, it's always a joy to share this time with you. I wanted to take just a moment to point your attention to the Connect card in your bulletin. If you'll go ahead and rip that out now and take a moment to complete that for us, you can place it in the offering plate as that comes by later. If you worship with us regularly, your name and your email is wonderful. And if you are newer to our community, we would appreciate as much information as you would be willing to share with us. I also wanted to point your attention, in your bulletin you will find a list of services going on this week. We have a lot happening in our church as we get ready to celebrate Christmas and honor the birth of Christ. And so this Wednesday we will have our longest night service that will be held in the chapel for all who are struggling with loss during this season. It's a service from darkness to light at 6:35 in the chapel. And then on Christmas Eve, if you're going to be in town, come join us for worship. We begin at 3 o'clock with our children's service. At 4:30, we'll be doing a traditional service with our blended choirs. At 6:30, we will be doing a contemporary service. At 9:30, we will be doing our blended service with our Sunlight Choir. And at 11 o'clock, there'll be a service in the chapel. So please plan to join us. And then come again the very next morning, because Christmas lands on Sunday this year, and we'll be doing one service next week. One service next week. It is at 10 a.m. One service next week at 10 a.m. And so we hope that you will join us. If you have young ones with you, they are welcome to come in their PJs and bring their toys. We'll be doing a blessing over those at the start of the service. The following week, that Sunday will be New Year's Day, and we will resume all of our regularly scheduled worship services. So we'll see you back that following Sunday at 8:15. All right. Our mission box for this week is Living Water International, and they do critical work providing water for developing countries and areas. And our trip that is planned for El Salvador this spring is still in need of some folks to go with them. So if you're feeling called or led to do that, please see Ted Brewster, our missions director, about that. And I'll invite you to read more about their important work in our bulletin. And if you feel led to give this morning, you can do so at any of the mission boxes, the wooden boxes that you see as you exit worship today. We are in the fourth week of Advent, and this week is traditionally marked by the theme of love. And every week, or every time we get to this week during the Advent season, I'm always reminded of a hymn that is Love Came Down at Christmas. Christina Rossetti wrote this hymn back in 1885, and it was a poem initially, set to music in 1906 and added to our United Methodist hymnal shortly thereafter. And in this poem, she manages to mention love 12 times in three short stanzas. As one author puts it, she provides the perfect antidote for those of us who may be feeling a little weary at this point with our Christmas celebrations. But more importantly, she reminds us of this incredible mystery and the ultimate gift that love did come down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine, love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign. And so this morning, we celebrate the fact that love came to dwell among us and is coming again. That love welcomes you into the divine presence and says to you, welcome home. It's great to be home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you, and please make sure to say hello to someone you do not know.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing and join us in our opening hymn?
Is almost complete. In just a few days, we will gather at the manger.
See Mary, the one who said yes, the womb growing as confirmation of the angel's radical announcement.
See Joseph, the carpenter, risking ridicule and standing beside the young pregnant woman who is to be his wife.
Shaping your heart as they surrender to the higher power.
We light the fourth candle and remember the power of love to make us whole and courageous.
Come, Lord Jesus, transform our hearts by your love. Amen.
Thank you.
time of prayer this morning, I invite you to remember the names of these folks from our community who are in need of God's healing grace and your continued prayers that mean so much. And as we pray together this morning in the silence that precedes our corporate prayer together, if you would remember them in your hearts, and if you would also just continue to pray for our country, but also be in prayer this week for the city of Aleppo as we pray together this morning. So let us unite our hearts now and enter into sacred silence together as we pray. Emmanuel, God with us, we are gathered here this morning a grateful people, for you have come to us, bringing hope, peace, joy, and love from heaven to earth. You came to restore us, to save us, and we hold fast to the promise that you will come again. On this fourth Sunday in Advent, we pray that you will fill us with anticipation of your coming, and may we come to you with hearts and minds that are open to your promises, your love, and your transformation. We can get so caught up in the busyness of the season that we miss the gift the season is meant to be. For our frenetic pace, for our exhaustion, for our tunnel vision, for our missing the wonder and awe of a baby born that we may have life and have it abundantly. Forgive us. Surprise us again, O God, with signs and wonders as unexpected as your arrival in a Bethlehem manger. And this Christmas, may we ourselves be signs of your love and your grace for a watching world as we boldly proclaim the good news of your salvation. We pray these things together in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. worship each week, one of the opportunities we have is to bring tithes and offerings that become a part of the work of the church and ministry together. Today you may, in addition to regular tithes and offerings, be bringing a Christmas offering envelope to participate in this year's special Christmas offering to support an initiative with Rawlings Elementary School. And if that's the case, those can be placed in the offering plate this morning as well. As the ushers come forward, let me invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks at this time of year, especially for the great gift of love that is expressed through the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we give thanks for what we have received, so may we give in response in ways that participate in bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. How wonderful it is to hear that group from the youngest to the oldest. I don't know who's the oldest, so I'm not pointing fingers, but from the youngest to the oldest sharing in that wonderful song and reminding us of the celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes very soon. As we look toward that celebration, in the anticipation of Jesus coming as Messiah, we also read the story from the Gospel of Matthew of the angel coming to Joseph and speaking to him. So I invite you to have your Bibles to turn with me. Matthew's the first gospel in the New Testament. About three quarters of the way back in your Bibles. And I'm reading from the first chapter and the very end of that chapter, 18 through 25. So I invite you to read along with me in your Bibles or on the screen. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you this morning to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you as I pray for you and this people. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When our daughter Shelby Hart was just about 2 years old, Steve's mom made her a nativity set. Now that was a big deal because his mom is not the particularly crafty type. But she really wanted Shelby to have this nativity set that she could hold and play with. So it was made out of fabric, and it had a trifold backdrop with cardboard in it. And then it had all of these little pieces, the wise men and the camel and the shepherds and the lamb and Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger. And they were all made with fiber, stuffed with fiberfill, and then had cardboard on the bottom so that they would stand up. And Shelby loved it so much that she would carry one of the pieces with her everywhere she went. Sometimes it was Mary, and sometimes it was a shepherd. Well, one day she took Joseph with her to church. Now, at the time, we were serving a new church start that was meeting in a high school gymnasium. So Shelby took Joseph with her to the high school gym, and somehow she didn't come home with it. It got sucked into the vortex of the gym and the surrounding classrooms, never to be seen again. So now, more than 20 years later, we still have the nativity set, and we have all of the pieces except for Joseph. Joseph is missing. You know, isn't that always how it is? In the story of the birth of Christ, we celebrate the wise men because they came and they brought gifts to the baby Jesus. And we remember the shepherds because they were the ones who heard the announcement for the first time, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And we revere Mary as the mother of the Son of God. But Joseph often kind of just gets relegated to the sidelines and doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He's just, you know, an ordinary man. He's a forgotten character in the story of the birth of Christ. So, thank goodness for the Gospel of Matthew, which does tell us something about Joseph in the account of the birth of Christ. It's one of the few places that we hear anything about who Joseph is and how he lived. Matthew tells us that Joseph has just found out that his betrothed, the young woman that according to Jewish law, he is as good as married to, the one who is going, he's going to take into his home as his bride, the young woman that he has not yet lived with, he has just found out that she is pregnant. Mary is pregnant. Now, remember, according to the Jewish law, if a woman was found guilty of premarital sex other than with her betrothed, then she would be stoned to death, or could be stoned to death, at the door of her father's house. Now, even though at that time the death penalty was rarely imposed in those cases, it was a legal option for Joseph. But aside from that, the very least that he could have chosen to do, according to the law, was to publicly dismiss her so she would experience lasting repudiation and shame. Being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. He was a righteous man. He was a faithful follower of God, and therefore he was going to be merciful, just as God is merciful. And so he decides to put away any anger that he might have and to dismiss her, not publicly, the faithful thing to do. He would be freed from her impurity and she would escape public shame. Joseph can rest assured that he has done the good and right thing, that he's being faithful and compassionate. But then God speaks. Why is it that God always seems to get involved and intervene in some unexpected way? God shows up with some kind of holy disruption. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." What in the world? Joseph was trying to do the right thing. He was doing what was well within his rights with his betrothed. And even more so, he was trying to be faithful and merciful. He's trying to think about Mary and be kind to her. Did God really expect more of him than that? Apparently so, because God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream, and the angel basically says, "I know this isn't what you expected. It's not what you anticipated, but it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid, Joseph. God is going to do a new thing." Joseph had planned to dismiss Mary quietly. And even though this angel came to him in a dream, Joseph still could have chosen to dismiss God as well. That's the message of the story of Joseph that we hear today. That unanticipated thing, that holy disruption, that things outside of what we are expecting can often be a wonderful sign that God is at work. You know, there have been many times in my life when I feel like following God is too much of a burden, too much of a holy disruption. In those times when God is speaking to me, God may be forcing me outside of my comfort zone. It may require of me a lifestyle change, or it may affect my reputation. It may even cause me ridicule or embarrassment. And it's in those times that I'm faced with the decision of whether or not I will say yes to God, or will quietly dismiss. Yeah, I'll share with you a story about when Steve and I were engaged to be married. It was the summer after our junior year in college, and we'd been engaged just 2 or 3 months. We were only 21. And Steve was up in Louisville, Kentucky, working as an intern for a big eight accounting firm. He was going to be an accountant. That's what he was going to be when he asked me to marry him. Now just remember that. I was working that summer as a youth minister, a summer youth worker at a church outside of Jacksonville. And one day when I got up in the morning, I got a phone call. It was a beautiful day, just a beautiful day. And out of the blue, Steve calls. And he tells me that he was away in Hagerstown, Maryland, working and doing some auditing for Coopers and Lybrand, and that he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he begins to read his Bible, and he has an experience, and he is sure that God is calling him into ministry. Now, he didn't quite receive the response from me that he was expecting, because I said to him, well, then, you've got the wrong wife. Seriously, I said, we have to call off the engagement, because I cannot be a preacher's wife. You see, the preacher's wife that I had known the best, the preacher's wife that I had looked to as this model, was Sandra Martin, Reverend Dean Martin's wife. Dean was the preacher here when I was growing up. And Sandra was wise and prayerful. And Sandra was strong and kind. And more importantly, Sandra never seemed to say a bad thing about anybody and never had a negative word to say, and I just couldn't do that. And so I couldn't marry Steve because I was not going to be a preacher's wife. Well, he told me that morning, and then I went to work, and it was hours later when I talked with him again. And I had told him, this is off. We're done. I'm not doing this. But I was sitting in the fellowship hall, and I was doing something with the kids, and I realized that I couldn't tell them that I had called off my engagement, because if they asked me why, I would have said, because I don't want to be a preacher's wife, and I don't want Steve to go into ministry, and that really would just sound ridiculous, and I couldn't do it. So hours later that evening, I called Steve back and told him that I would, in fact, marry him. That somehow I would not quietly dismiss God and go my own way. Now, that's not the only time that I've tried to quietly righteousness, God, when God called me then to be a preacher, I wanted to quietly dismiss God because I hate public speaking and I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to be a preacher. And then later I tried to quietly dismiss God when I asked for my first appointment. I wanted to be an associate pastor, so I would only have to preach maybe once a month. But instead, I was appointed to a church that had four services weekly and I had to preach twice and lead worship twice every single week. I couldn't quietly dismiss God. And then there was a time, it was just about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was singing a hymn with Harvest, the congregation where we had served for 15 plus years. And as I was singing, I think the hymn was "Here I Am, Lord." And I clearly had this feeling from God that I wasn't going to be there for as long as I had anticipated. Perhaps naively, perhaps blindly, I thought we would serve Harvest until we retired for 30 or 35 years. But as I was singing that hymn, I felt God saying to me, "No, you're not going to be here nearly as long as you might expect." And sure enough, then we were called in time to come and serve here. I tried to quietly dismiss God. I didn't want to hear that. I tried to quietly dismiss God. And yet, you know, as we are faithful and as we follow in the way that God is calling us to follow, somehow it is okay. Because God's ways are always good and right. And when we follow them, God will make a way for us. And now as I stand here with you all today, I feel confidence and assurance that this is, in fact, exactly where God wants us to be. As Mary and Joseph journeyed to Bethlehem for that very first Christmas, they did not know where it was that God would lead them. All they knew was that God had said that something wonderful had been promised, and they were called to follow. So we too are called to get out and to follow. So my prayer for you this Advent is that you will explore where it is that God is calling you when you might rather walk away. What is it that God is saying to you when in fact you might prefer to quietly dismiss God? You know, God may be calling you out of your comfort zone. God might be calling you to fight injustice or to stand up for someone who can't stand up for themselves. God might be calling you to stand up for yourself. God might be calling you to stretch your boundaries and expand your understanding of what you are sure is right. God might be calling you to give of your resources, to give of yourself in ways that you haven't before. God might be calling you to end a relationship. Or God might be calling you to heal your relationship. God may be calling you to simply surrender. To surrender your will to God's will, to surrender your life to following Christ. You know, you can choose to quietly dismiss God. We can choose to quietly dismiss God. But when we don't, and when when we follow, we can find a peace more powerful, and hope more enduring, a joy more unspeakable, a love more amazing, a salvation more strange and yet wonderful than we could ever imagine. When we do choose to follow, we can find Jesus Christ, the one who will save us from our sins. God, we know the story of Christmas comes alive as it intersects with our own stories. This morning we pray for the faith to follow like Jesus. Like Joseph, in the middle of making his own plans, he recognized your voice and presence. And not only did he recognize, but he followed. He didn't quietly dismiss you. Instead, he let go of his own plans and followed your plans for his life. We are still trying to plan. And you are still speaking. So now, help us to create a welcome and a readiness within us for your voice and presence. Take our will. Take our way. Take our lives and make them yours. Come, Lord Jesus, Savior of the world.
It is a privilege today to be able to welcome some folks into membership here in the Life of Trinity. We're going to invite them to come and stand at the front now and introduce them to you and ask them questions of faith and membership as they come to be a part of us. Let me give you some names to go with faces in case you haven't had the joy of meeting these folks yet. I'll start here closest to me and work my way down. Randy and Teresa Adams are coming today to join. You may recognize them from lighting the Advent candle just last week. Randy and Teresa are coming by transfer of their membership from Living Word Fellowship in Cocoa, Florida. And then next to them is Sherry Engel. Sherry is coming today. Her daughter Grace is also active in the life of the church here already. Sherry is joined by Professor of Faith this morning. Then Laura and Bill Northcutt. And Laura are transferring their membership from another church here in our community. It's a coming home. And we're glad to have you all joining Trinity today as well. And then Jan Sims. Recently moved to the area and is transferring her membership from First UMC in Winter Park, where one of my covenant brothers actually happens to be the senior pastor. So it was exciting to receive her and welcome her into the life of the church today. Catherine's going to ask the questions of faith, and then there'll be a response for you all as well this morning.
And we also, in the Wednesday night service, Alan Finney became a member of Trinity, and he was baptized, and so that was a very special evening on Wednesday evening. And then there'll be others who will be becoming members at both 9:40 and 11 o'clock this morning. So, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you these questions. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His faith, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and nations? A couple of
be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries. And as members of this congregation, we will faithfully participate in its ministry through your prayers, your presence, and your gifts, your service, and your witness.
Let me invite you all now to join in welcoming these friends. Will you share in responding to them now? We welcome you
into the family of faith.
We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ,
devoted to making a difference in the world.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you for bringing these friends to us and to be a part of this community of faith. Be at work in all of us as we continue to follow and seek your guidance in all that we say and do. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. As you see these folks around campus and today after worship, I hope that you will offer your own words of greeting to them and get to know them in the days ahead. Welcome, friends.
Us up here, it's a welcome fest, isn't it?
We come to a table where God's love is on full display, where we remember that Jesus Christ came to live among us, to be the one sent who would show the way and who would live that way in full obedience. Through his life, his death, and his resurrection, God has indeed come to us and saved us. We remember that on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his disciples for the final meal. He took bread and he broke it. He shared it with them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks, shared it with them, and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance." Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for these gifts of the bread and the cup. We ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts, so that they might be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Having been nourished here at the table, may we rise to go out and live as the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. Make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. In Christ's name we pray. Would those who are serving this morning please come forward to receive the elements of the Lord. Here at Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is an open table. It's a place where all find gracious welcome. And so this morning, whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, you are welcome to come and receive of the elements. There are servers in front of several of the sections here that you see. So you'll come from the left of your section and be ready to receive bread from that server that's in front of your station. And then after that, you can take the bread and dip it into the cup, and then return by the right side of your section to your seats. If you'd like, the prayer stations are always open for your use during this time of communion. Maybe there's a word that you
God to speak to you this morning, to make you a little more bold, a little more courageous in responding. And this is a place where you are welcome to come and listen for that word. All is ready.
Thank you.
with the angels as they sing. God is a God of holy disruption. So I invite you to go out today and to see where it is that God might be calling you to follow. Listen to what it is